May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Imagine yourself in a place in your life where things seem not to have the meaning that they once held. You find yourself questioning the purpose of it all, wondering if true happiness can ever be found. Michael found himself in that very place. Something which occurred in his life caused everything in his life to be called into question. He had tried to lead a good life, especially in the way that he treated his fellow human beings and the world at large. However, now once again, for it had happened before, Michael found himself drained and tired from all of his efforts. There did not seem to be any payback, any difference, or any real happiness. Perhaps many of us can relate personally to Michael's story and experience, and have had that experience at one point or another in our lives. Certainly many people in our nation and throughout the world have had a similar experience with respect to their beliefs about the future. There has been for some time a strong apathetic mood. A national survey revealed that 78% believe that the rich will continue to get richer and the poor poorer. 72% believe that the crime rate will increase. 62% believe that homelessness will increase. And 62% believe that the pollution of our planet will continue, just to name a few. The loss of meaning as an individual, as a nation, or as a world community is a serious problem. In this postmodern society, many have capitalized on this common experience through the marketing of such things as self-help books, self-help CDs, faddish diets, all kinds of exercise programs. And many of these are good, not all of these are bad, yet with them we have also seen the rise of dangerous trends, such as the increase in gang memberships, not only in our nation, but throughout the world. The heroin epidemic in our nation. The rise of prescription drug abuse. Certainly a serious problem in our state. Even the rise of cults. All of these evil efforts are also directed at promising someone meaning in life. Now, many people are drawn to membership in the church for often the same reason of searching for meaning. Sometimes we come to church when our lives feel shallow or not quite fulfilled. We may be enjoying a very good life and yet know there must be something more. Two, we may be experiencing a very difficult period in our life and we turn to the faith community for help. And all of the questions and all of the reasons that we come to church in both the good times and in the difficult times of our lives, the joys and the sorrows, all of those point toward our search and our question of meaning. The fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel, which we have been looking at these past several weeks as they have been the assigned gospel readings. It begins with Christ's Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the beautiful sayings and teachings of Christ. Blessed are the pure in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. But then Jesus continues that teaching. He continues that teaching as an encouragement to the hearers on what the followers of Jesus can hope for. And last week we focused on Jesus saying we are to be light. And then Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? You are salt. The metaphor of salt carried a very powerful significance for the people in first century Palestine and in all of societies. It still carries quite a bit of meaning, even if we take it for granted. Salt flavors and gives something very bland taste and definition. Those who must watch how much salt they take in, that's when they notice the absence of salt. They know all too well that saltless diets are not a whole lot of fun. I mean, eating McDonald's French fries without salt, in fact, you can't because they cook them in salt, just doesn't taste the same. Or corn on the cob without butter and salt. Or a New York pretzel without salt. The experience of swimming in the ocean is enriched by the taste of the salty sea. The point of Jesus is that the quality of saltiness is what gives salt its identity and purpose. What is your salt? That's what Jesus was saying. What is your salt? Maybe Jesus was speaking about your soul. Not simply our soul, which we believe goes on to eternal life, but also that same soul within us as we live today. Perhaps Jesus is addressing our soul losing its soulness, its soulfulness. In his classic book entitled Care of the Soul, Thomas More defines the soul with these words. He writes, soul is not a thing, but a quality or a dimension of experiencing life and ourselves. It has to do with depth, he writes, value, relatedness, heart, and personal substance. So our Christian souls are the very essence of our being. Our souls are born out of the creation that you and I have been made in God's image and sustained through our relationship with God through baptism, reception of the Holy Eucharist, and members of this community of faith. What is the state of your soul? Has your soul lost its saltiness, its soulness? Today's gospel, which is a hard gospel, is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. They're still listening to Christ, who's now gone through the Beatitudes, has talked about being the light of the world, has talked about being the salt of the earth, and now Jesus goes on to say that there are things that adversely affect your soul. Things such as judging others. Things such as being unforgiving. Things such as adultery. Things such as lusting. things such as lying, even divorce. And I will say to you that it's not a judgment upon divorce. In my estimation, what Jesus is saying, and certainly it has been my experience in my years as a counselor and therapist, that no one goes through divorce easily. It affects you, even if it is the right thing to happen. It affects our souls. Using God's name in vain. These are just to name a few. Jesus was talking to a culture who had many of the same issues, because human nature hasn't changed all that much, that you and I have today. The poet Wallace Stevens wrote, "The way through the world is more difficult to find than the way beyond it." The way through the world is more difficult to find than the way beyond it. Often in your striving to lead the Christian life, you may lose your way. Sometimes sin against God or neighbor. In fact, it will happen, gets in the way. Our lives seem to lose their meaning. The words of Christ today and throughout this whole chapter speak to this dilemma. Jesus may be pointing to the need for you to care for your soul. Care is what a nurse does. My wife is doing that today at UK Medical Center. It's what a nurse does, and nurse happens to be an early meaning of the Greek word therapeia, or therapy. To care for the soul means to tend to it through our attention. And this is not a new concept. For hundreds of years, the parish priest received into his charge the care of the souls within his parish boundaries. He was known as the curate, from the Latin for cure of souls. We use it now in the Episcopal Church to mean a new priest that comes out and works for a rector is called the curate. I was the curate at Grace Episcopal Church in Massapequa. But we are still curates, for we are responsible for tending to the needs of the souls of his or her parishioners. And although I hold strongly to this notion, it does not remove your personal responsibility to care for your own soul, so as not to lose your soulness. Caring for our souls may work differently out for each of us here. It may include being happy with your work in life. It may include having a special hobby. It may include some type of physical exercise or activity. It may include having friendships, significant others, loved ones. It may include eating a delicious meal, reading a good book, watching Downton Abbey, any of these things. I watched yesterday, last night, the women's Olympic downhill skiing, and I was so taken with their passion for what they were doing and the work that goes into that. The years of work for those 2 minutes on that slope. That is work of the soul. The list goes on, but what is primary is that care for the soul is necessary for our faith. Ultimately, care of the soul requires us to be faithful in worship, faithful in receiving the Holy Eucharist, faithful in our prayer life, faithful in following Christ's commands, and loving your neighbor as yourself. care of the soul is work. It's diligence, it's hard work, it begins with faith, and it embraces all of the facets of life. We care for the soul to maintain our soulfulness so that the salt does not lose its saltiness, the light does not go out, and your lives do not lose their meaning. Let us pray. God, you have created us in your image and given us souls as the essence of our being. Help us to understand that we must care for our souls, to keep them salty, soulful, and that this care begins in your church. With healthy souls, we are empowered by you to show forth the light of Christ in the world. Amen.